and then we'll open up for questions.
Thank you, John. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Mazen Hamadi. I am currently the academic advisor for Bethune College since July 2010, and I'm also a faculty member in the School of Kinesiology and Health Science. I would like to, before I start, I would like to thank you all for being here. This is a great turnout. I'm glad to see students are engaged and are willing to actually be part of this. Some of you, I hope many of you, and I actually, it would be ideal if all of you had an idea of my work and accomplishments at Bethune College. But you'll have the opportunity to ask me all about this during the question and answer period. My 10 minutes, I would like to take these 10 minutes to ask you a very simple question, or what appears to be a simple question on the surface. What, in your opinion, and I would love to hear from students first, what, in your opinion, is a community?
Different constituents from various programs coming together to work together as one. Under one umbrella, regardless of what the circumstances, we all work together, and that's what I believe a community is, especially here at Song, and hopefully that's the same for Calumet.
Thank you, Ashley.
I would say a community is It's a group where you use the collective strengths of everyone to cover individual weaknesses, and through that you make a stronger group as a whole. So in much the same way that I, as an English major, have helped to edit and proofread a bunch of kin majors' papers and stuff to assist them, and in turn I've learned just little anecdotes about the human body and stuff that I've used as, you know, metaphors and similes in my own writings, we've managed to take things from each other and work symbiotically to become better students as a whole.
Wow. John, I just want to actually confirm that he's not running for the master, is he? I saw a hand there. Do you have your hands up?
No, why not?
I would like more Ashley feedback. What do you think constitutes a community, or any idea to that particular theme?
It's a simple answer, but realistically, it is what Stong College as a whole has and what Calumet College as a whole has. They have very different prerogatives as far as their student body and what they represent, but in essence, that is exactly what they are, communities. And they're run, and they have more involvement and development of all students. And their end goal is much bigger than just academic. There are many facets that go with it, and I think that they build on one another, and that's an important part of it.
Great, thank you. Do you have your hand up? All right. More? Most people, we have around here 50 people, almost 40 students. This is ballparking. I'm sure we have more feedback and more actually contribution.
To me, a community is a place where you feel involved and accepted, and where you have opportunities to engage with people in similar situations to yourself, but also those you can learn from. As a member of Stong in York as big as you, as a school as big as York, I think the colleges and my college, Stong in particular, provide a place in which you can feel involved and not forgotten in a really large university.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie. More feedback? This is your chance to tell me and tell everyone your version of an ideal community. We'll give you more time.
Wait.
Screw up your courage.
I'm one of the old students. One of the symposiums we had here at Stong a number of years ago referred to something called the human connection. And the human connection is the basis of what Stong is as a community. It's a connection over time. It's a connection over faculties. It's a connection over experiences. It's a connection inside and outside the university. It is a connection with people that have a desire to learn, with those people that have a desire to teach. And in that overall community of human connection, we've tried to build a sustainable institution that has a shadow behind of over 40 years now, and a great future ahead as it reaches out to the real world.
Great, thank you. More feedback? Any feedback? So I put together some thoughts that hopefully had incorporated a lot, if not all, of your ideas. For me, what constitutes a community is actually many, many facets of humanity, many facets of our diversity, many facets of our creativity and innovation. Oops. I guess, here you go. So, the slides were a little bit switched. So, I tried to fit in as much as possible of what, for the colleges, would help create an ideal community. So, you can see the students are at the top. We have peer-based services. We have dialogue with fellows and department heads and undergraduate program directors and faculty members. We have our connections with resources at York University, our non-academic administrative staff, the complex too, which we are part of, Calumet, Stong, Bethune, should be working together. We have the technology that in 2014 could definitely help us establish this community. Many of us as students cannot commute on a daily basis, and even when we do commute to attend our classes, a lot of us have to go immediately back home or to work or to family or to another job, or a second job or a voluntary work. These technologies, today's technology, can be used to create this community, not only for those who can physically exist at Stong College and Calumet College, but those who need these services and want to be part of this community, but they can't be physically here. We have, of course, services such as CDS and Career Center and SCLD and Writing Center. We have student-based societies and clubs and Faculty of Health Student Caucus. We have our minority groups. It is our diversity. We are strong in our diversity, be it mature students, be it international students, be it Aboriginals. Whatever it is, this is our strength. Our diversity, English, Schulich, kinesiology, nursing, professional writing, creative writing, etc., health policy management, all this is our strength. Let's use it. It was a great, actually, feedback. A student said, I actually helped others in their writing and in the process I learned. Residence life, athletics, these can be part of the Stong College and Calumet community. In my opinion, a community is not individual, separate very distant parts of a whole. If we cannot make our community strong, coherent, feel that all these services are very much seamlessly flow back and forth, there's continuous dialogue, there's continuous strength, we build on our individual strength to actually multiply our strength, this is what community is. We should not forget that our main reason we are at York is for academia. So this remains actually the main point of our existence. But we can, through academic and non-academic processes and resources and entities and units, actually empower the students to develop skills that not only help them help others, help their peers, but also make sure that they are proud of being York University students when they graduate. That these skills, be it leadership skills, be it communication skills, be it actually social skills, team building, etc., etc., conflict resolution, skills, personal skills development, whatever it is, these skills to help the students move forward, not only for their 4 years, more or less, at York, but it is what we are preparing them for. I would like to be proud of actually a strong Stone College and Calumet community to actually empower the students to move on. We're always evolving. It should be an ever-evolving process. It shouldn't be a process whereby decisions are made from the top down. It should be suggestions and feedback and contribution and engagement by the students to help students develop and get engaged and succeed. This is, in my opinion, what actually community is. And I think main resources or main units that can help establish this community are the student councils or student government. So let's make sure we build a community. Thank you, John. I'm done.
I guess one question that I have for you is, you being a master for either STAR or Calumet, whichever one you are chosen to be master for, how would you integrate both? I know you said it earlier, but can you elaborate more on how you would integrate the college, I guess the programs that are in the college? So for STAR, there's English, professional writing, creative writing, kinesiology, nursing. For that example, how would you create a program for them to collaborate all together? So through either student success or whichever peer mentorship you have to offer.
Great. First of all, I think we cannot look at one program and move forward. And before we do, we need to go back and see what do we have, what works, and what needs to be improved. So looking at all the resources, looking at what the students think they need in dialogue with fellows and dean's office and the student council and the different units, we also assess what we have and go from there. But if I were to establish now and tell you exactly how I would approach it, on top, in addition of what I said, first of all, it would be several peer-based groups. We already have great professors. We already have great researchers. We already have great programs. So, and students do not want to come in to sit through another one-hour session on another very heavy academically based seminar series. They don't want that. You don't want that. I, as a student, after sitting in on at least 15 classes, hours of class every week, and labs and tutorials, I don't want to end up sitting through another hour of Ashley listening to someone lecturing me about another topic, which is outside my major. Hence, we have these profs who deliver the material. But students sometimes need someone their age and their generation to explain things. It's this peer connection. And there are so many ways of establishing these peer-based services and support programs. I know that Stone College has passed for three courses. And one of those courses has three sessions, psychology. So you have one for physiology, one for anatomy, and three for psychology. Stung and Calumet combined, have close to 12,700 students. Let me repeat that. 12,700 students combined. Five past sessions. Two in kinesiology, one in psychology. No tutoring, it's not on the websites. The peer mentoring program, as established by the Health Aid Network, empowers 24 students. We are 12,700 students strong. Right to succeed, I think it's a great idea. Great idea. But not only do we need to establish a great idea, we need to implement it. We have so many students. I am faculty member in the School of Kinesiology and Health Science. I know their writing quality. I would love to have them meet with an upper year student who actually, perhaps his major or her major is language and writing. Not only to help their own peers in their department and their major, but also to help people in outside their major and department. Hence, perhaps give them training, additional training, on how to approach writing from the scientific, life sciences approach. Increase our clay position. Apply for clay positions. Other colleges are getting close to 20 clay positions. There's no reason only to have a few here. We can get our peers, we can provide them with great training, whether it is peer tutors or class reps or peer mentors or past leaders or peer advisors or student support, resource services support, whatever you want to call them, that particular peer-based programs can help. I'm not only about actually academic-based. Student government and college councils can also help and can actually be part of this. We do not live in a vacuum. We do not live in an academia-only life. The social part of it, they need it. The academic side, they need it. The residence life, they need athletics. I don't see why not. We shouldn't have a few clear positions whereby athletes actually are helping students who are actually want to get to know how to go into the gym and use some of this equipment. I don't know. Kinesiology and health science, I don't see why we shouldn't have a clay position or a work study student that can actually counsel students on proper dieting. Not dieting as in weight, but diet, a healthy diet. On last Wednesday or Thursday, we had, last Thursday at Bethune College, we had asked the SCLD to come and give us a workshop on self-care. So we had them give that. I don't see why we shouldn't do it here. So in my mind, I don't see them as separate, actually. I see them as all working together. A past leader who is leading a past in anatomy can become a student sitting in a past session for physiology. That, for me, is not unheard of. This is, these are programs that are highly supported by students. The resources and services are given and presented by students to help other students.
Okay, I have a question. Can you explain
briefly how your work at Bethune College has prepared you to be an effective master?
Thank you for this question. First of all, before I start, I need to provide a disclaimer. The hard work that went into establishing the fantastic programs at Bethune College, I cannot take the credit for it. Had it not been for the undying support of the master's office, administrative assistant, secretaries, the master, had it not been the buy-in by professors, be it actually the fellows or the profs, emailing us their feedback, attending some of the training, asking us for more support, had it not been for the buy-in by the dean and the dean's office, both deans, Faculty of Science and the La Science School of Engineering, but the most important people who actually take the credit are the students, the peer leader, highly engaged. They not only want to learn, they want to actually help others. A sense of giving to the community, a sense of social awareness, of civic responsibility. I learn from them, I grow. I thought I was going to teach them, they teach me on a continuous basis. How did it prepare me? It told me that it needs a community to build a community. Absolutely it does. And this community starts by the members of that community. We cannot have had such a great success without also the support of other units, such as SCLD and CDS. They provided us for the first 2 years continuous training of our peer leaders. They trained close to 600 of our peer leaders for the first year. I know because we had actually a common training with Bethune, Stung and Calumet for the first year and a half. I know that. We've held them here. So it's, and of course council, Bethune College Council. There has to be dialogue open, a continuous dialogue, fellows, profs, students, councils, master's office, deans. There has to be many, many people who are prepared to give, to be involved, to help others. One person alone cannot do that. So my answer is, I alone cannot do it. I have to work with everyone who has a vested interest, directly or indirectly, in helping students and our community and our future.
I would like to understand what can you do for the college different from what has been done before. I would like to have a picture of what your leadership will be in the college if you become a master.
Great. Thank you for this question. It's not, it may appear as a simple question. It's not a simple question. First of all, I see that Stung and Calumet need to reassess and reevaluate what we currently have. Second, We need to establish what we want. What do students want so that we can help them succeed at York and outside York when they move on. And once these programs are identified, a very specific timeline is to be established with objectives, with milestones, with assessment as we go forth on a continuous basis. There is reassessment and going back and saying, this is what we have, this is our impact, what works, what did not work, and how we can improve it. Three questions we should ask ourselves all the time. What works, what does not work, how we can improve it. We've established this at Bethune, and I'm sure, I'm 100% confident we can establish this in Stung and Ashley Academy. I think, from my perspective, having experience at Calumet as an interim academic advisor for Calumet College between January and April 2010, and for the last almost 4 years as an academic advisor at Bethune College, I think definitely there has to be peer-based support programs from all programs for all students. I don't see why, when we have 12,700 students and tuition from every single student from every different major they belong to pulls into the student council and into the student government and into the colleges, I don't see why actually these programs should not be targeted towards all the different students in the different departments. One of the students eloquently put it, it is to build on our strength, and that's what it is. If we feel that English majors or creative writing majors or professional writing majors can help their students and students from other majors, we'll do that. If these are the services they need. I definitely think it's peer support service. I definitely think fellows should be involved. There is no reason for us not to have kinesiology or nursing or psychology or English or health management policy and policy, etc., etc. A couple of profs every week hold here coffee with a prof for half an hour or an hour. There is no reason for us not to actually pair students who need that mentorship by a fellow or a prof. There is no reason for us not to actually engage our alumni. We can establish a LinkedIn to start actually help students who are here establish their professional network for later. And then we contact alumni and tell them, this is our objective, is to, for you to mentor people who are willing or are aiming to actually go into the same area and profession you're in. Would you please actually guide them? I don't think why we I don't see why we shouldn't have this. It's not only here, it's throughout the student life cycle. Not only actually before they start, I know you start program, actually prepare students in the summer before they start their first semester year, and until the actually they come in to do the academic orientation or make connections, and then there's no follow-up. But this is not enough. We need to have programs that help students in transition once they're here, transition first year, to catch them specifically the first semester, not only the first year, but the first semester, because this is extremely important. Students are coming in with averages which are around 85%. They are actually ending up with average around 65%. This is difficult for them. It's a different mentality, different perspective, way of studying, way of interacting. They are trying to become mature. They're evolving, they're growing, and they are becoming their own decision-making makers. Not their parents, but themselves. So this is where we establish this upper year programs that help actually the first year and second year students. And it feeds onto itself. And when they feel that they are actually getting better because of this mentorship and guidance and relationship, and they actually go back and become peer leaders and they help others. I don't see why prof shouldn't be included, or fellows, or for that matter, alumni. Our strength is not, we do not exist in vacuum. We have a history. This history started more than 40 years ago. Actually, in the wisdom of our predecessors, even when actually York University was established as a campus for University of Toronto, it was based on a college system. So our founders, in their mind, had already the vision that the college will create the community for the student because the university is so large. Our identity, yes, is as part of a university, which is York, but we need this community, sense of community, sense of belonging that a lot of students don't have. And we can bring in those former masters and fellows and tell us what worked in the past. We get those students and tell us what do they want using the technology, their ideas. There are so many ways we can actually approach this. I alone cannot do that. But these are what I think, in my opinion. You cannot actually exist in vacuum. It's a continuum. We have a history. We take advantage of that. We have present. We actually build. And then we build not only for now. We build for the incoming generation. But we build also for what is going to happen to those students when they graduate. So we're building for the post-graduation life for our students. I'm open-minded. I'm dialogue. I connect. I communicate. I interact with many. We receive feedback. Our programs have strengthened not because of my ideas or John's ideas, although we have input, but it's actually all because of students who fed back their ideas and innovations and actually piloted things along the way.
You mentioned that there are over 12,000 students at Kelly and Song, a large percentage being first year. What are some ways you will make yourself recognized among the first year community if you do become master next year? Yeah,
this is a great question. I looked at the numbers, and you have between Song and Calumet, I believe ballparking here, there's close to 2,500 incoming first-year students every year. So we're looking at, as you said, a good chunk of the 12,700 students who are actually first-year. So not entirely, not the majority, but it's extremely important because if you do not hold on to the first year, we do not have a second year or a third year or a fourth year. So they're extremely important to actually maintain and actually support. First of all, my presence and my engagement has to start from day one. And day one is not the day when they start classes. For me, day one is well ahead of that. There are during students when they get advice in the summer prior to them beginning their first semester at York. Once they register, once they are advised and they decide to join York and they become part of Strong and Calumet, the masters get lists of those students. This is when Stone College as a community and led by the master should make itself visible and helpful and present. And this is when the communication should start. The student should be introduced to these colleges. Who am I? What resources we have? They should be able to be directed very easily to a comprehensive, clear web pages. I repeat, comprehensive, clear and easy to negotiate web pages. And then communication. We communicate, follow up with communication with peer leaders. So by the time the student comes to York University for academic orientation or making connections, that student will have had experienced several communications between the student and me, student and peer leaders. By the time they come in person, they get to put faces and personalities to these names. The master should not be distanced. We are no longer living in the 1920s or 30s or 40s, whereby the master is the epitome of a prof with a beard and a pipe, and we do not do that anymore. Actually, today, they will knock on my door and they come in. There has to be this connection. If they do not feel that they actually can come and talk to me, they're not going to feel that the community is open. This is by any means not a plug for John. Ignore that he's here. He has set a great standard. He has empowered his academic advisor. Let's not name his academic advisor. He has empowered his academic advisor without putting barriers in front of him. That academic advisor came with crazy ideas. Crazy ideas. Yes. And actually, administrative assistant can actually is nodding her head. Yes, she's approving. But the master empowered the students and the academic advisor because he knew that the students wanted these programs. They asked for them. And this is the role of the master, is to be able to connect with the students, to be able to connect with the non-academic administrative staff, to be able to connect with the peer leaders, absolutely, with the council, with the dons, be among these functions, be present in at the meeting for student government and the college councils, be present, hold fellow-based events, be there when there is a major peer leader-based event, connect with other masters on campus. The master's role is not only internal to the colleges, it's also external. The master is accountable to more than one group. Not only is the master accountable to the students, first and foremost, but also to the dean. The dean is the boss, but also the master connects with the different resources, ensuring that all these resources are brought to under one roof with the different masters to get ideas. Training. The master and the academic advisor at Bethune College just came back from actually a conference about first year experience. Every year, I as an academic advisor was sent to at least one conference, either on first-year experience, or on peer mentoring, or peer educators, or past peer-assisted study sessions. Since July 2010, I've been to 7. But that is to exchange these ideas at fora, international and national and local. So actually, we see what we have, how we can improve it. Where are we in the process? Are we still lagging behind? Are we not lagging behind? What other processes and strategies we can use? That is not easy. Have to be open-minded, have to be progressive. It's a work in progress all the time.
I have a question on behalf of Peter Dawson, who had to leave. but he wanted me to ask, what would you do to improve student engagement together with the initiatives of the Aboriginal community at Calumet?
This is a great question. As a between January and April 2010, I was the academic interim academic advisor for Calumet College, while the academic advisor at that time, Dr. D'Souza, was on paternity leave. I do not remember at all that there were any programs or peer-based programs for Aboriginals at that time. I do not know what happened since then. But this is one of our different minority groups that we need to actually reach out to. Not only minority groups, but also mature students. Mature students also have challenges. Not only mature students, but also those students who are transferring from other colleges and universities. It's actually quite difficult to adjust to that. But Aboriginals, Calumet, it's the emblem of Calumet is based on Aboriginal traditions. The pipe which is used usually when you have circles to establish friendship and agreements. It's one of the strong symbols of that great culture. So I think, yes, we do need to actually establish programs, and we do need to actually establish connections. And there is already a service. We need to go back and say, what is working, what isn't, and how we can improve it. What is it that is relevant to actually Aboriginal students? This is extremely important to the Aboriginal community. We have, I believe, as an immigrant to Canada and a person who is very proud of Canada for opening up its borders and its arms and being welcoming to people around the world, I think we need to give back to Canada, and I think we should never forget about Aboriginal students or the Aboriginal community. I think there is much work to be done on this in this respect, and I cannot tell you exactly what are the exact programs, but I don't see why not helping high school Aboriginal students strengthen their skills so that they can actually apply to York and then pass the criteria to become actually first year student at York. That is one of the several programs we can establish. We can establish our connection with the community around us, and not only Aboriginals. We have Jeanette Finch. I think there's a lot to be done there. UFA, the union I'm a member of, has a project around that. This is a great idea, but we can do better. But agreed, it's not only Aboriginals, but other minority groups too.
Madison, I just want to be clear about one thing, not what you said, but how you were introduced. The chair of the search committee said that you had applied to be either the master of Stone College or the master of both. And he also separately made clear that there will not be a master of both. There will be two separate masters. Does that mean that if you were offered the position of Calumet College, you are not interested? Or is it just that you are more interested in being the master of Stone College?
Great question, David. David, before I answer you directly, I'm going to actually give you an anecdote. More than a year ago, I'm from Lebanon. You cannot actually expect a very short answer.
I get you.
About more than a year ago, when my contract as an academic advisor for Bethune College was about to actually expire, John approached my chair of the School of Kinesiology and Health Science, and approached the Dean of Faculty of Health to try to extend my mandate as academic advisor. And it seems that, I cannot give you the entire details between what happened between John and the dean or John and the chair, but I can tell you my experience with my chair. My chair called me for a meeting, and this meeting took longer than an hour, a little bit longer than an hour. And during that hour, my chair was concerned. I did not share his concern, but the chair was concerned about the fact that Bethune College, now that the School of Kinesiology and Health Science students have been all assigned to be associated with Stone College, as you know, because about 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, when I began as an academic advisor, the Bachelor of Science stream students in the School of Kinesiology and Health Science were associated with Bethune College. However, the Bachelor of Arts stream students of the School of Kinesiology and Health Science were associated with Stone. And the move by the dean to actually ensure that all students in the School of Kinesiology and Health Science, be them BA or BSc stream, be part of Stone College. And over the last 3 years, we have seen less and less percentage of School of Kinesiology and Health Science students be part of Bethune College, which is understandable, because over the last 3 years, we had students graduate and the incoming students for kinesiology and health science became part of Stone College. Hence, now when we had almost 50% of us of Bethune College being kinesiology and health science, now according to my memory, I'm looking at about close to 20-25%. So these 20-25% are the last 4th, 5th, and 6th year students. So by next year, we'll only have 5th and 6th year. So we'll have around 400, we lose another 400 to 600 students. So the concern of my chair was that they're trying to extend my contract and position as an academic advisor for Bethune College, when actually Bethune College no longer serves kinesiology and health science students. I presented my perspective that indeed Bethune College not only helps the students of Faculty of Science and the Sound School of Engineering, but also it helps significantly non-science and non-engineering students, because we provide academic services, academic support services for courses that are taken heavily by science students, engineering students, kinesiology students, nursing students, psychology students, health management and policy, etc. Because we actually support students in courses such as math and physics and biology and chemistry. And a significant number of students in kinesiology actually aim to go into professional schools, be it dentistry or optometry or medicine or physiotherapy, and because of this, they need these courses to qualify to submit their applications. However, it was difficult for me to impress upon my chair this point, because the bottom line is, if actually Faculty of Health is associated only with with the Stone College and Calumet, specifically kinesiology and health science students are associated with Stone, then I should be giving back to Stone. His perspective was presented not only, he's not against what he's doing, but because of the budget cuts, David, what happens is when I am being more or less seconded to Bethune College, School of Kinesiology and Health Science will have to find a replacement for me to teach the courses that I used to teach. And these resources apparently are on the shoulders of the chair or the school. Hence, for my chair, it's going to be very difficult to convince my chair that I'm moving on to a position, again, after convincing my chair that how applicable it is, that I'm moving on to a position that is not directly helping students in the School of Kinesiology and Health Sciences. David, if you have clout and you want to convince my chair, by all means, but I think with the budget cuts, with the policies, it's going to be very difficult for them.
Essentially, it is not in your mind, it is in the university structure that
you're
you see.
I am a faculty member in the School of Consulting and Health Science and Faculty of Health. Hence, I need to abide by the guidelines, rules, regulations, and policies, not only of York, but also internal policies within Faculty of Health and specifically School of Kinesiology and Health Science. I do not have control over this, David.
A few more questions, and then it's... Go ahead.
No. It's on.
You're good.
I feel like I might be throwing you under the bus by asking a specific question right now, but I'm going to ask it because I spent some time in Cali, and I feel it's not exactly the same situation there is here. You mentioned earlier we have technology and resources are very important for the students. And if you walk around in Song, what I've noticed, I've been here for 6 years now. So what I've noticed over the years is the transition from a lot of paper resources for students moving over to electronics. Having said that, if you walk around in Song, there is a massive shortage, and this is going to sound trivial, but there's a massive shortage of outlets. In the cafeteria, if you see where people are sitting, they are literally on the two sidewalls. And if you go into the JCR, I remember when I started here, there were structures of chairs placed up, and that's fine now. If you walk into there right now, we have a cluster all the way in the back and a cluster in the corner because there's four outlets, three of which work, one of which we almost overloaded because I now carry a power bar. And this is also because a lot of the school, you need that at your place. I come to school, I need to recheck an article my professor posted. I need to make sure my battery's not going to run out. So I guess the question I'm asking is, should you were to become part of Song? Because like I said, I've spent time in Cali Bay and I didn't notice that shortage of essentially outages, outlets. How much priority would you find it to be for a retrofit for Song, for students, so they have that ability to not be able to come into a room and be like, oh, well, I can look at my stuff for 20 minutes and now my battery's dead?
I feel your pain. I do. Every time. Let me do. Another anecdote. Hey. We have so many anecdotes in Lebanon. So I love taking my computer and going and working in places after hours on the weekend where I can actually have this cup of tea and work. And it's I feel very frustrated when in 2014 I cannot find an outage or a plug to plug in my computer to recharge it. So I either have to ensure it's plugged or I have to go and then apologize and to actually other clients and ask them if they would allow me to squeeze in so I can actually plug in my computer. I agree with you. Within the limitations of what the dean would allow to spend on any renovations, and within the limitations of the budget that Stong College will receive, because you are talking specifically about STEM. I would definitely look at that, and we would definitely see how we can actually provide more of that. It doesn't have to be rebuilding an entire room. It could be providing extensions. I mean, this is. We are innovative and creative enough to say, okay, so let's go to Dollarama. This is a $2 extension. Buy about 20 and then plug them in and put on it. This is property of Stone College. Please do not take it. Otherwise, it would disappear. So there is a possibility of a band-aid approach or a possibility also of establishing actually connections or plugs, our outages in the walls. That I cannot tell you now. It would all come down to looking at the numbers, the priorities, where we're going with this. But I don't think if we are to put a band-aid solution to it, it would be a problem, because providing more extension going to a dollar store, there are no dollar stores anymore, $2 stores, you can actually provide these extensions. So sometimes we'll be able to do a permanent job, and sometimes you have to work until the next cycle of renovations. But this is why I said, as a master, as an incoming master, that incoming master cannot decide on her or his own what's going to happen. This is where the first thing the master, in my opinion, should aim for is opening it up and see what are the needs of the students. What are the needs? This could be one. This is definitely one. But I'm sure a lot of you are thinking of something more important, space. I pass by Stung. We'd love to have more space. Love to have more space. Not only for students to actually, I see them building their own, forming their own student group, study groups. This is great. You have a Stung College arbitrary events and coincidence where students on their own build their study groups. It's fantastic. It's just fantastic. It means that you're already halfway there in this sense of community building and sharing and empowering each other and helping each other. So this is great. So the space would be another point. Not only for students to sit down and have something to eat and study, but also for these peer leader-based resources. Tutoring, peer tutoring, PASS. The ideal way is to have places where students can sit down at tables, around a table, and discuss things, not in a classroom where they're looking forward at a table. So that would be another issue to bring up and see how we can resolve it. But I agree with you.
Time for maybe one more question. Thank you. We'll be putting the presentations here online. Please tell your friends who couldn't make it to go listen to the presentations and send confidential emails to the search committee, because we need your feedback. Right. It is your master that we're looking for.
Thank you very much, everyone, for putting up with my anecdotes. Have a nice